Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Our tech segment this week actually stays with the headlines. The president suggests that we need to analyze data better. Our intelligence databases have lots of information in them, but if we analyzed it correctly, we could actually prevent the kinds of attacks that happened on Christmas Day, where that Detroit airplane was boarded by a man with explosives in his underwear. He wasn't able to carry out the attack, but we're living the consequences. Joining us now is Michael Tanji, former senior intelligence officer and current senior fellow at the Center for Threat Awareness. He's a columnist for Wired Magazine. Danger Room. He joins us from Virginia. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
And Dr. Nelson Ludlow is the CEO of Intellicheck Mobiliza, which designed an international security database system recently purchased by the TSA and now being used at Andrews Air Force Base. He joins us from Seattle. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. Thank you.
So to both of you, Michael, let me begin with just a concrete example here. If I Google Nigerian radical flight today, I get something on the order of like 3 million references, most of which are probably references to the news. I'm wondering if that had been a search prior to Christmas Day, we still would have gotten probably 100,000. How difficult a technical question is it when you're cross-referencing databases to narrow it down to 2 rather than 200 or 200,000?
Well, actually, the nice thing about being working with in a security environment, an intelligence environment, is you're not you may use Google as a tool, but you're accessing a much smaller set of data. So you're not going across the whole internet. Sticking with the example of a TSA or a Border Patrol officer, being able to look for that sort of information, you would access a lot smaller set of data. So your results would be a little bit better.
But nevertheless, and Dr. Ludlow, let me bring you on this. If you have a group of, say, even 100 suspects, how do you narrow it down effectively to be able to take action in the time it takes, say, someone like Abdulmutallab to get from the gate where he bought his ticket to the security checkpoint to the boarding gate and then actually on to the plane?
Well, the technology, we can obviously do a lot better than what we're currently doing. If a no-fly list only has 5,000 people, well, okay, that's obviously workable. But you know what? Even if there's this larger list, which this Nigerian guy was on, which is a little bit over 500,000 names, obviously a computer can do that. We just need to be able to get that information to the people right there at the TSA agent so they can do something useful with it.
Michael Tanji, I have a sense that the way the government operates its databases, and I'm probably wrong on this, is that they're just various pools of information and that the deficiency is in how that information is shared and how significance is assigned to individual aspects. Dad called and said he's a radical. He purchases a ticket that's only one way, doesn't actually check any bags, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so you have multiple databases, and the problem is less about how much data or the accuracy or speed. It's about the process of sharing. So let's say, for example, Border Patrol or TSA State Department might have had some excellent information that someone could have acted upon, but the process to get that information to Border or TSA, based on a couple of stories that just came out, it was slow, it was late, it was incomplete. It's really a process of that. It's not just the raw information, but being able to get it to the right place at the right time with the supplemental information, such as, by the way, the would-be bomber's father showed up, and we think this is a significant thing to pay attention to. Right.
And, of course, all this information is very, very time-sensitive. What would it take technologically? Because I'm noticing that once you have the name of the suspect, and of course after Christmas we knew exactly who this person was and what he was trying to do, you put that name into databases and all kinds of information comes up. How hard would it be to create a system that would cause someone like this suspect to pause at an airport long enough to run that kind of data? And then you would have known. Michael?
The problem, of course, is that terrorists have the advantage of a much larger pool of folks to tap to carry out attacks. So you might not have any idea who is going to be coming next. The focus, that's where you're going to try to focus on your screening procedures and making sure that all those things like, you know, not having luggage, paying cash one way, are going to tip off the trigger. That really should have been the reason that the would-be bomber did not get on the plane. All the other things that it had nothing to do with databases, but everything to do with behavior,
right,
should have stopped him from getting on in the first place.
Dr. Nelson Ludlow, from the perspective of being the CEO at Intellicheck Mobilisa, okay, you've got a database security system. How difficult is it to merge information of how someone behaves at an airport with this other data that might exist in national security archives, that sort of thing?
Well, fusion of data is always hard, but if it's just to provide an alert, it's actually much easier. So there are systems that check 140 databases all in about a second, and at least it can just send up a flag, a red flag, to say, wait a minute, this guy needs some secondary, some additional security screening, and that's actually quite doable.
But then why aren't we doing it?
Well, that's a good question,
yeah.
Because, you know, currently Andrews Air Force Base, home of the president's airport, they have a system like that, and they're actually checking these databases. So why aren't they being used at our airports?
All right, Michael and Nelson, to both of you. All right, we design a great system. We can catch people if they behave strangely at the airport. All a terrorist has to do is actually check a bag and buy a two-way ticket, and the whole system goes out the window. You suddenly don't stop them, and the person gets on the plane. How do you deal with that, Michael?
Well, the nice thing about being a terrorist, if I can frame it that way, is that if you're sufficiently discreet and novel, you're going to be a success. And we're never going to be in a situation where we stop everyone. But the point is that we make the strongest effort we can to stop as many as we can.
And technologically as well as using traditional police work. Dr. Nelson Ludlow, you want to take us out?
Okay. I agree with Michael. It's difficult if somebody's novel. And in this case, this guy actually was on one of the terrorist identity lists of about 500,000 people. So it's the other actions that he's doing, his preparations, things. So he was already previously identified as somebody that should have got that additional screening.
Well, as a takeaway from both of you, I'm hearing this is clearly doable. Yes, yes?
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, Michael Tanji, former senior intelligence officer and current senior fellow at the Center for Threat Awareness. He's a columnist for Wired's Danger Room. Dr. Nelson Ludlow is the CEO of Intellicheck Mobilisa, which designed an international security database that's actually been purchased by the TSA and is now being used at Andrews Air Force Base.
I'm not sure whether to be reassured that it's doable or alarmed that we haven't done it yet.
I think both. I think all of the above.
Okay, if you missed anything on the show, go to our website at thetakeaway.org. And we're asking really a serious question today. Scientists at Emory University at Atlanta say dolphins are so intelligent they deserve the status of non-human persons.
They should get rights. They should get
They should have
a
personhood stat. Now you're making a joke out of it. We're serious.
It's not a joke.
Yeah, that's right. We're asking what you think. 8778-MY-TAKE, or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Well, then we should have to do that to chimps, right?
Chimps are not as smart as dolphins.
Guppies? No, probably not.
Definitely not guppies. Did you hear my earlier dolphin imitation?
I know, I have to
imitation?
Be serious about this. That was your dolphin imitation?
That was me.
Not bad.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
Having a real co-host, man. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.